Well, welcome back, everybody. I hope you had a really nice walk with joy. So here we are for our final Brahmavihara of the day, the Brahmavihara of equanimity. And it's a little bit different. You know, we might want to ask ourselves, you know, what is this quality of equanimity? We know metta is kindness. If we think about compassion, it's kindness turned toward a situation that's painful. And sympathetic joy is kindness turned toward something that's pleasant and happy. But equanimity, a little bit different. We might maybe think of it as a kind of kindness infused with wisdom or kind awareness. Sort of something like that. The Vipassana teacher Gil Fronsdale talks about equanimity as a quality of mind that allows us to see without being caught by what we see. So we can see whatever is going on with patience, and we can see it with understanding. And he also talks about it as a quality of being able to stand in the middle of whatever is happening without being thrown off balance. So with equanimity, there's this sense of real calm and steadiness. And, you know, we've been working on the paramis so far this year at SIMS, and equanimity itself is one of the paramis, as well as one of the Brahmaviharas. And we can see that a quality that's calm and steady and lets us stay in the middle of whatever's going on without being thrown off balance also incorporates a lot of wisdom, a lot of patience, integrity, and truthfulness, because we see clearly what's happening. So it involves a lot of the other paramis too. And we can get a better understanding of what equanimity is also by looking at what it isn't, by thinking about these near and far enemies that we've been talking about with the other Brahmaviharas. So the far enemy or the opposite of equanimity is reactivity. And now this one, I think this one is not such a hard one to get a sense of. I think we're all pretty familiar with our own reactivity. You know, all of the stuff that we feel when we want things to be different from what they are. When something is happening and we don't want it to be happening. When something is not happening that we want to happen. All of those kinds of things, like craving for something that's pleasant that we don't have. Aversion to whatever is unpleasant. Anger, frustration, upset, irritation, avoidance, and on and on and on. You know the picture and you know the territory very well. We know reactivity. So this far enemy of equanimity is something that we can often recognize. Being able to keep from getting caught up in our reactivity, well, you know, that's another story. But we can recognize it. The near enemy of equanimity, though, I think it's more confusing and it's really harder to actually understand when that's what's there and when true equanimity is there. So the near enemy is indifference. And it's not always easy to know for sure that that's what we're feeling. And I think a lot of times that if we don't know a lot of about equanimity and haven't practiced with it very much, we might even feel like equanimity is a kind of indifference or apathy. It's sort of a quality that somehow, you know, we're just okay with whatever is going on. We're not bothered no matter what it is. We don't really feel much of anything about it one way or the other. But actually, that isn't equanimity at all. True equanimity is really far from being apathetic or uncaring. And it's really connected with whatever is arising. And it meets it with a sense of kindness. But at the same time, when equanimity is there, we also are able to see what's going on really clearly and to recognize the limits of what we can do about it. With equanimity, we can just open to whatever is happening and be with it, even if it's painful. We don't try to pretend it isn't happening. We don't spend all of our energy protesting the fact that it's happening when, I mean, in fact, it's already happening. It's kind of too late, right? It's already happening. It doesn't mean that we don't do anything, though, because if something arises and we can see that there's something we can do, you know, some painful or difficult thing, and we see a way to make it better, we do that action. We take action. But it's more like we take action out of real understanding rather than taking action just blindly because we just can't stand the way that we feel about this thing being here, and so we gotta get rid of it or do something no matter what. Not necessarily because it's the wisest thing to do, but because we're just too overwhelmed with what's going on that we gotta do something so we feel better. So it's really different from indifference. It has a lot of wisdom and clarity and the ability to have the sort of steadiness to take action out of clarity. And sometimes equanimity is called the queen of the Brahma Viharas because it's the one quality that keeps all of the rest of them in balance. And I was reading an article by Sharon Salzberg, and she talks about it even as a secret ingredient. So it's a kind of a secret ingredient that keeps metta and compassion and sympathetic joy from falling off into those near and far enemies. It keeps metta from, you know, falling off into attachment if we're so worried about what happens to someone that's close to us that we can't just be with the way it is. It keeps compassion from falling into a place where we're overwhelmed with grief and we just can't do anything because we're too upset. It keeps sympathetic joy from getting into a place where we're either jealous of the other person or we're kind of so overexcited that we can't see very clearly, or maybe we're all worked up about what their good fortune might mean for us or something like that. So, you know, that's not really a very pure sort of emotion. So it keeps all of the other Brahma Viharas on track. And it also really helps us to be able to feel that kindness and compassion toward all beings without any distinction. If we don't have equanimity, it's really hard to feel kindness towards a difficult person, frustrating person. You know, easy enough for someone that we love and is always nice to us, not so easy for someone that's more difficult. But with equanimity, we can approach that kind of feeling. And it also reminds us the limits to what our well-wishing can do. That when we cultivate these Brahma Viharas, really what we're cultivating is the ability to feel these things in our own hearts. And maybe other people will be affected by our well-wishing. We don't know necessarily. We can't say that it won't influence them, but that isn't our goal, to make things happen. It's really to cultivate these kinds of qualities in our own hearts. So equanimity is really a crucial part of the practice of the other three Brahma Viharas. And it's also a quality that we can cultivate in itself. So one of the most important ways that we cultivate equanimity is through our Vipassana practice. So for many people, you know, that's the most important way that they develop equanimity. So it's really strongly associated with mindfulness. And whenever we're practicing mindfulness, equanimity is something we're cultivating. We're cultivating the ability to see things the way they are, to acknowledge that this is how things are right now in the present moment, and to be willing to be open to them, non-reactive, and to be more interested in learning and understanding about these things than getting rid of them or changing them or doing anything with them. So that's a really important aspect. Doing your Vipassana practice is huge in terms of cultivating equanimity. But we can cultivate it through the Brahma-Vihara practices too. And so when we do this, in this formal practice of equanimity as a Brahma-Vihara, we do pretty much the same things as we do with metta or compassion or sympathetic joy. We use these same kind of categories of people as we've been using for the other Brahma-Viharas: oneself, the benefactor, the dear friend, the neutral person, the difficult person. And we can use phrases as well, so it's very, very similar. And just with the other Brahma-Viharas, we try to start somewhere where it's relatively easy, you know, not too hard, so we don't have to try to cultivate equanimity for the most difficult person and the person that upsets us the most in our lives. Not necessary to go there. We can start with a place that's relatively easy and gradually work up to the more difficult. But, you know, I was thinking about this, and for equanimity, it can be kind of hard to know exactly which is the easy person. Yourself or a dear friend may not be the easiest because we may be so invested in what they're doing in their lives and how they're doing. It can be hard to sort of have openness to it, even if it isn't the way we would like it to be. In fact, in some ways, a neutral person might even be easier because we can wish them well in a kind of general way, but we don't know enough about them to have a lot of our own agenda with this person. But then on the other hand, it's pretty easy to be indifferent to a neutral person. So, you know, no category is really easy. As I was saying, if you're thinking about yourself or the dear friend or a difficult person, it's really easy to be reactive because of strong feelings we have about what's going on in their lives. But difficult to connect with the neutral person. But whatever happens, working with these difficult categories or easy categories or whatever categories, it's all a good opportunity for learning, and it really gives us a chance to sort of see where we are in terms of our feelings about other people, situations in their lives and in our lives, and get a good sense of that and to be able to be with it and see it as it is. So there are a variety of phrases that are typically used for this. And Cheryl, if you're still there and you can put the phrases up, this would be a perfect time to do it so the people online can see. May I be with how it is, with more balance and ease, at ease with the changing conditions of my life. An important one for people who are perhaps we want the best for them, but they don't always agree that that's the best, is I care for you, but I can't control your happiness or unhappiness. May I be at peace with your journey. Joy and sorrow arise and pass away. It's a natural part of life's journey. May I learn to be with this arising and passing away with balance. So generally, this phrases that sort of help to encourage us to be with what is and recognize the limits of our ability to change that. So let's give this practice a try and see how it works for us.